For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's inspired word to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Begin reading at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 21. The Word of God in Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another fear of God. We read the Word of God that far this morning. The text for our sermon is verses 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what a privilege it is for us on this first day of a new year to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. What better way to begin a new year, our life and pilgrimage here on this earth, by being in the house of God in worship and thanksgiving to God with God's people. This is the long-standing practice of Reformed and Christian believers. It's not something that goes back only a few decades. It's something that goes back centuries. Church back in the 300s AD, the 4th century AD already, gathering together in worship on the first day of the year. Church has done so in order to seek God's blessing upon her in the year to come, to receive encouragement, to receive instruction for how she is to live in the coming year, and to encourage her in the confidence that she is under the all-seeing eye of God and under the safekeeping of His everlasting arms. It's an opportunity for the church to look back in thanksgiving, to look forward in what is her calling before God in the year that is to come. It's an opportunity for us to be reminded of what are our priorities. This isn't like the resolutions that the world sets. Resolution perhaps to lose weight, to exercise more, to eat less, or to eat healthier. Child of God may have such goals and resolutions as well, but that's not why we're gathered here. We're gathered here to set spiritual priorities for how we are to serve God as His people in the year to come. One of those priorities is what God sets before us in the text this morning, the calling that we have as His people to redeem the time. Time is a creation of God. God Himself is not subject to it. God is eternal. He's beyond. He's outside of time, but He's created time, and He's given it to us as a gift for us to steward. God has set the precise moment of our birth. He's determined the exact moment of our death. He's determined then every hour, every second in between that He's given to us to care for and to steward. But as we come to the end of one year and the beginning of another year, we're painfully aware of how brief that time is, how quickly the days and the years of our life go by. It seems as if we've only blinked and another year has gone by. We're another year older, we're another year closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've celebrated another birthday, perhaps a milestone birthday. We're 20, 30, or 40, or 50, or 70, or 90 years old now. We're aware that our life is but a breath and a sigh, and it's quickly over. Our time is short. The question then that comes to us is how do we and how will we use that brief time that God has given to us? Do we view that as our time to be used on our own terms as we will to use it? Or are we faithful in redeeming the time? That's the calling that God gives to us in the year of our Lord, 2019. Beloved Church of God, redeem the time. Let's consider this Word of God under the theme, redeeming the time. First of all, asking the question, what? What does that mean? Secondly, how? How is it that we're able to do so? And then thirdly, why? What's the reason? And what's the motivation? Redeeming the time. What, how, and why? There are some, when they look at this verse and the call to redeem the time, who view this merely in earthly terms as an encouragement to better time management and productivity. And there is a sense in which application can be made to that. If you or I, as a child of God, is being lazy in the work that God has given us to do, if we're a chronic procrastinator, always putting off the responsibilities that we have, if we find ourselves spending endless hours wasted playing video games or watching TV or surfing the internet, then we have to see in this Word of God the admonition: repent of those sins before God, to turn from them, be careful in the use of the time that God has given to us. But that's not the only thing that this Word of God is teaching us, or even the main thing. Fact of the matter is, you can have a man or woman of this world who's very organized, who's very scheduled, whose calendar is a picture of perfection, who's very careful in their time management, who's very productive in their career, and yet they're not redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means more than making good use of our time. The idea is that we make the best use of our time. And the best use of our time is that we press that time every hour, every moment that God has entrusted to our care into the service of God. That's the best use of time that there could be. We use the time that God has given to us in the service of the kingdom of Christ and to the glory of God. There are two things in the text that indicate that. First of all, the words redeeming the time themselves indicate that. In the New Testament, there are two different words translated time. This word can be translated as time or as a definite period of time or even as an opportunity. And we're told to redeem the time or redeem the opportunities that God has given to us. And the idea there is that we're to buy up that time for our use and our service to God. That time, as it were, is on the open market. We're to go into the market, pay the price, buy up that time, and use that time rightly. Because of the fall into sin, the world, and we by nature, use that time in the service of sin. We're called as redeemed children of God, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, to redeem that time, to buy up that time, and not use it in the service of sin, but to press that to the service of God, His kingdom, and His glory. Second thing in the text that indicates this, that what we mean here by redeeming the time is spiritual activity and service to God, is the connection between verse 16, the idea of redeeming the time, in verse 15, when it calls us there to see then that ye walk circumspectly. Those two ideas are inseparably connected to each other. You can't separate them. The two phrases are helping explain one another, and in the end, at bottom, are teaching us the exact same thing. We redeem the time by walking circumspectly. The Bible often refers to the Christian life as our walk, the way that our feet are headed. It doesn't refer only to the outward aspect of the Christian life, actually where we're going and the things we're doing. It has reference also to the words we speak, and because all of that has its source in our heart and in our mind, our walk includes our thoughts, our desires, and the motives of our heart. We're told to walk, to live the Christian life in every respect, circumspectly. Circumspectly means exactly, accurately, or carefully. We redeem the time by living the Christian life circumspectly, accurate, exactly, carefully. And that's not the idea of a Pharisee, of cold, legalistic life with all kinds of exact rules and regulations added to the Word of God. It's not the Christian life. But the Christian life is a careful life, living accurately and exactly according to the demands of the law of God, seeking to live out of love for God and heart and mind and soul and strength, love for the neighbor, God has commanded in His Word. Those ideas are connected. Redeeming the time, walking circumspectly. We make the best use of the time God has given to us by, in every aspect of our life, walking, living carefully, accurately, in harmony with the will of the Lord. We can pause at this moment and ask ourselves, and examine ourselves, are we doing that? We redeeming the time that God has given to us, buying up that time, using it rightly, making the best use of it, and in every aspect of our life, walking carefully the Christian life. Doing so comes at a cost. If we use the illustration of time as some commodity on the open market, there's a price that must be paid to buy that. Figure of redeeming is used in the Bible with the image of a slave who's on the marketplace, and you'd have to go and you'd have to pay money to redeem or to free that slave. It came at a cost to the one who spent that money. So also for us, is there a cost in redeeming, buying up the time? Cost, in the end, is self. The purchase price of redeeming this time is self-denial and self-sacrifice. If we're truly going to redeem the time, make the best use of it in the service of God and for His glory, it means we have to give up our own selfish and sinful pursuits. If redeeming the time means walking circumspectly, then that means the opposite, living sinfully, is not redeeming the time. It's wasting the time. It comes at a cost of our denying self, our own sinful lusts and desires and pursuits. And beyond that, even the things that may be legitimate that we want to do but become a hindrance to our redeeming the time. There may be things in the Christian life that aren't wrong and sinful in themselves. Things that are legitimate in their own place in the Christian life. But the trouble may be that we make these things the focus of our life, or we let these things come to dominate in the Christian life. And our calling is to give up those things, to deny ourselves those things so that we redeem the time. We make the best use of the time and the opportunities that God has given to us to serve Him. Think of a few examples from our own lives. Think of the example, first of all, of a single man or woman. Perhaps their attitude toward the single life is that, well, being a single really isn't that important in the Church of Christ. They don't have an important place, and it's really not a necessary place in the church. And so they can use their time, they can use the money and the resources that they have however they want, to their own selfish ends. The calling of God to the single man or woman is to redeem that time, to redeem the opportunity of the single life. Now, perhaps they desire a spouse and they legitimately pray to God for a spouse, but until God gives them one, they redeem the opportunity of single life by using the time and the money, which generally speaking a single person has more of than a married person. They use that time, they use their money, they use their energy in service of God and of His church. They redeem the time. Another example would be husband and father who goes off to work each day. May be tempted in his work to be lazy, to give only the bare minimum and to skate by without the employer noticing. Or the danger might be that he goes to work, he works hard to the best of his ability, but his priorities are all wrong. He's doing that for self and to accumulate to himself wealth and possessions. And the calling to the husband and father is redeem the time, redeem the opportunity. Work hard to the best of your ability. And work to the best of your ability with the right motivation, not for self and for selfish worldly gain, but to be able to provide for one's family, to have something to give to the poor, to be able to support the gospel ministry, to give generously to the causes of the kingdom of Christ here on this earth. Redeem the time, the opportunity, work God has given to you. Application can be made to the wife and the mother with young children underfoot. Maybe times selfishly where she wishes she could rid herself of that burden. Maybe she hears the tempting voices of the world around her that says you're only just a wife and a mother in the home, that's it. There's far more that you could do in this world or even in the service of the kingdom than this lowly calling. Calling to the wife and mother is redeemed that time and opportunity. Have those children with you only for a short time. The days may seem long, but the years go by so quickly. They're grown up, they're married, they're moved out of the house, they're gone. You have them only for a short time to instruct them and nurture them. Redeem the time. Application could be made to each of us in the witness that we give. We have opportunities to witness, and we have to admit, probably all of us, that we allow those opportunities to go by wasted. We don't know what to say to someone else who asks the reason of the hope that's in us, or we're simply too embarrassed and too ashamed to speak of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Redeem the time. Redeem those opportunities. Open your mouth boldly. Speak of what Christ has done for you in saving you by His grace. Give a witness to those where God gives an opportunity. Application could be made to our downtime, what we like to think of as our time, my time. Time I spend at work from 9 to 5, that's the employer's time. When I get home or when I'm on a break, that's my time. I can do with that time as I please. Maybe we spend endless hours scrolling through social media, Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. Maybe we spend countless hours in front of the screen, the TV or YouTube or Netflix. Maybe it's spent playing all kinds of computer and video games. And we say, this is my time, I can spend it as I wish. We have to redeem the time, redeem those opportunities. That does not mean we may never rest from our work. We're not God. We're not able to work endlessly without any break. We're fragile creatures of the dust. We need times to sleep. We need times of rest and refreshment. But those times may be wasted, endless hour after endless hour on vain, trivial things, or in things that are sinful, the entertaining of ourselves with the filth and wickedness of this world. Redeem the time, the opportunity. Give just one more example. There's many, many more that we could give. Just one more this morning. To redeem the trials that God sends into our lives. From a certain point of view, we can waste those trials. We waste those trials when we respond in the wrong way to them. Responding in anger and bitterness either toward God or toward others who perhaps have hurt us in some way. Rather than seeking patiently to bear up under what God has sent, our whole mindset is, get me out of here, get this off. This burden off of me, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And that's our sole focus, to be rid of whatever God has sent into our life. Rather than first of all seeking to glorify God and to learn whatever spiritual lesson He may be teaching us in that circumstance. Don't waste the trials that God has sent into your life. Redeem those times and opportunities. Do so by responding properly to the hand of God. It doesn't minimize the hurt and the pain of those circumstances, but our calling is to respond in faith and trust in God, not anger and bitterness towards Him. Our attitude toward those trials is not, first of all, get this off and get me out of here. God, if this is your will for my life, help me bear up under them. Teach me the spiritual lessons that I need to learn in these circumstances. Redeem the time. It's costly. Requires painful self-denial. Denying of our sinful lust, denying of self, what we may want or how we may feel or what we think we'd like to do. And as we stand at the beginning of a new year, of opportunity, be reminded of that. We look back on a year that's passed. And as we examine our life, we examine our use of time and what the use of our time reveals about our priorities and how we've spent the time that God has given to us and the opportunities He's placed into our life. As we go forward into a new year, hear this word of God. Year of our Lord, 2019. Beloved people of God, redeem the time. Question now is how? How is it that we're able to do so? What's required? And the answer, according to the text, is wisdom. We need wisdom in order carefully and properly to redeem the time and opportunities God has given to us. Wisdom is a gift of God. It's something entrusted only to His chosen people in Christ. The wicked world, they're trapped in folly. And in their folly, they don't redeem the time. They don't press it into the service of God and His kingdom, but into the service of sin and rebellion against God. We have wisdom as those who belong to Christ, and it's necessary that we exercise that wisdom in order to redeem the time. Notice the two references in the text to wisdom. Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Wisdom is ultimately, fundamentally, an attribute of God. God is the all-wise God. And that means that God always employs the best means to achieve the best purpose, goal, and end. God always is seeking the highest goal, the highest purpose, and He does so with the best means and the best way possible. That's God's wisdom. God's ultimate goal, of course, is His own glory. That's the best, that's the highest goal and purpose of God in all things, to glorify Himself. And God employs the best means, the best way always, so that His glory is revealed and His glory is magnified. It's not just that God's way is good, it is good. God's way is best, the best means that He has determined to glorify Himself. God gives us that wisdom, and wisdom for us means the same. We seek to use the best means to achieve the highest goal and purpose of the glory of God. Wisdom is seeking the glory of God in all that we do. In saying the right thing at the right time so that God is glorified. Doing the right thing at the right time so that God is glorified. Even in our thoughts, in our desires, in our motives. So that all of it serves the glory of our God. To put it in a very simple way, hopefully the children can remember, wisdom is knowing what's right, doing what's right. Knowing what glorifies God and then doing what glorifies God. We need wisdom. We need wisdom to walk circumspectly, carefully in this life and to redeem the time that God has given to us. We need wisdom with how to care for and view material, financial aspects of life. We need wisdom with regard to our work. We need wisdom with regard to our home and our family life and our relationships to others. We need wisdom with how to deal with our downtime, our entertainment, our play. So that all of it is directed to the glory of God. We need wisdom in our different stations and callings. We need wisdom as members of the Church of Christ. We need wisdom as office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need wisdom as husbands and wives, wisdom as fathers and mothers, as children and young people. And whatever our station and calling in this life may be, it takes wisdom to redeem the time. Knowing what glorifies God and then doing what glorifies God, that's redeeming of the time that God has given to us. Knowing what is the best use of our time, the most careful use of it, in service of the kingdom of God and to His glory. According to the text, that wisdom shows itself in two ways. There are other ways, undoubtedly, that the Word of God spells out, but according to the text, there are two ways in which that wisdom is expressed. First of all, with regard to our understanding. That's verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but," and understood there is "be wise," and this is how, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wisdom shows itself in understanding what the will of the Lord is. In the Bible, it speaks of God's will from two different aspects or two different points of view. Times the Bible speaks of God's will from the point of view of His eternal counsel, His eternal plan for all things that God determined before the creation of the world. We refer to that as the will of God's decree. But then there is also the will of God's command. From that point of view, the Bible speaks of God's will as what He demands of us, what He commands, and how we are to live to the glory of His name. And that's what this Word of God has in view, the will of God's command. Wisdom is understanding what the Lord commands and demands of us as His servants. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's bought us with His blood. We are His servants, and we're called to serve Him in all of our life. Wisdom is understanding the will, the command of our Lord for us in our life and in every aspect of our life. When we understand what the will of the Lord is, we're able then to redeem the time. The life that God calls us to live flows out of our understanding, our heart and our mind, and what we know and understand about God and about His Word. We read in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What we understand in our mind, what we think about God, what we think about His Word, what we think about ourselves, and what we think about the world around us, dictates the way that we will live and the use of the time that we make. What that means for us then is a deliberate, conscious bringing of our thoughts into alignment and harmony with the will of God revealed in His Word. And that demands of us a regular intake of God's Word. We can't have understanding, we can't have wisdom, and therefore we won't be able rightly to redeem the time. We're not feeding ourselves with the Word of God. There may be someone who has a vast knowledge of the Word of God who still is not wise, There's never been a wise child of God who's had only a small knowledge of the Word of God. We grow in wisdom by growing in our understanding of the Word of God. It means that we have to regularly read God's Word, memorize God's Word, and hide that Word in our hearts, that we meditate upon that Word so that it percolates, it steeps in our mind, so that our thoughts are on God's Word. It means we spend time reading other things that help us understand the Word. It means we take that Word and we seek to apply it into our daily life. It's not out of place for the child of God at the beginning of a new year to set a resolution for him or herself, to commit ourselves at the beginning of this year, regular intake of God's Word, the reading and memorizing and meditating upon the Word of God, so that we understand what the will of the Lord is. We grow in wisdom. We're able then to redeem the time, to make the best use of our time to the glory of God. Second way in which the text speaks of our wisdom being expressed is in self-examination. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." The Word of God does not simply say, "Walk circumspectly," but it says, "See that you walk circumspectly." Look at your life is the idea. Examine yourself to see that you're walking circumspectly. It's very easy for us to slide into sinful habits, to revert back to an old sinful way of doing something. It's hard to maintain the good habits of spiritual discipline. It's very easy for us to lose that and to slide back and to revert to sinful habits, sinful mindsets, sinful ways of thinking. Happens so quickly, it happens so easily, it often happens without our hardly even realizing it. And that's what makes it so necessary for us to constantly be examining ourselves, reflecting upon our life, our actions, our words, our thought patterns, our mindset, our attitudes, to see, to examine, to look. We're walking circumspectly and redeeming the time. To do that, even with the help of others of God's people. In our pride, we think we know ourselves best. We don't need anyone else to look into our life and to help us examine ourselves and to hold us accountable. We're often the worst judge of ourselves. Sin blinds us to the presence of sin in our life. We need others. We need others in our own homes and family, our spouse, children, parents. We need others in the Church of Jesus Christ. Close friends in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed to speak a word of rebuke and correction to us when we need that, when they see the sinful habits in our life. We need that from one another, to hold one another accountable, to see and examine and to look into one another's lives. Not in pride, not in self-righteousness, but in genuine care for one another. There's wisdom in that. With wisdom, we're able then rightly to redeem the time that God has given to us. Again, the end of one year and the beginning of another year is a good time for us to pause and to reflect upon that. Take the time to look back on this past year, to examine your life, your lifestyle, your actions, your habits, your attitudes. Ask others to speak into your life. Commit yourself by the grace of God in the coming year. Careful self-evaluation and examination to the regular intake of God's Word for growth and understanding of God's will, so that we're growing in wisdom, that we're able then to redeem this time. That leads us finally to the question, why? What's the reason for this calling that God gives to us? There are two things that we can say from the Word of God here on two different levels. First of all, there's a reason that gives urgency to this command, and that's the great wickedness of the world in which we live presently. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's not a surprise to us to hear the evaluation of God's word for the days, for the time, for the world in which we presently live. That's been true of the Church of Christ throughout her history in the New Testament. That was true back when this Word of God was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. At that time, the days were evil. At the time of the Reformation, the days were evil. At the time of the beginning of our churches, the days were evil. At this present time, the days are evil. But with the wisdom God has given to us, as we discern the signs of the times, we can say that that evil only continues to grow, manifests itself more clearly in the world in which we live presently. The world is becoming bolder, unashamed in its promotion of sin and rebellion against God. There's all kinds of different ways in which we can see that. One of the most prominent, perhaps, is in the promotion of sexual sin. Get that not only from examining the world in which we live, but the context here of Ephesians 5. In the first part of this chapter, it talks about the prevalence of sexual sin and how the Church of Christ is not to have even a hint of sexual sin and fornication in her life and in her midst. One of the ways in which we see the evil of the days is in the promotion in the world of sexual sin. The unashamed promotion of sexual sin by singles and young people and those who are unmarried. The promotion of sexual sin even by those who are married. Promotion of divorce and remarriage thereafter. If you find yourself in a bad marriage or with someone you don't love anymore, then it's okay to leave them and to remarry someone else in spite of whatever hard consequences may come upon the children of that marriage. There's the unashamed promotion. Such sins as homosexuality and transgenderism and all the other names that are given to those sins. And lest we think that's only out there in the world by men and women who are unbelieving, the reality is that these sins can be found in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that because there is a tremendous pressure that's placed upon us as children of God living in this wicked world. The world creeps closer and closer. It comes right into our homes through the internet, through technology, through social media. It's a temptation for the child of God to give in to sexual sin. Temptation for the child of God, unmarried, to fall into the sin of fornication. Temptation for the child of God who is married to commit adultery. Temptation for a child of God, not just men, but also women, fall into the snare of pornography. The days in which we live are evil. And all the more urgent then is the calling and the command of God, redeem the time. Look at the world in which we live. Look at how it's running to sin and rebellion against God, sense the pressure of that creeping ever closer and closer to the church and to our own homes and families and youth. How urgent that we redeem the time that God has given to us, that we walk circumspectly, carefully, wisely in the midst of this world, carefully examining ourselves, our families, the influences to our family, so that we're guarding ourselves from all of these pressures and temptations. So that we make the best use of our time, not in the service of sexual sin or any other sin, in the service of God and to His glory. The days are evil, beloved. Therefore, redeem the time and walk carefully in the midst of this world. Do so out of gratitude. That's the ultimate why of the text. The evil of the days in which we live certainly add urgency to this command and our obedience to that. As we go into a new year, we can only expect that that will increase. The year of our Lord 2019 will not mean that the world in which we live will get less evil. They'll be more reformed and Christianized. Our expectation is that things will become only worse as the coming of Christ approaches. That adds urgency to the command, but that's not the ultimate motivation for you and for me. Motivation for us as children of God is gratitude for Christ's redemption of us. Comes out in the context here. Our text in verse 15 begins with the word then, or literally therefore, and it's summarizing what was said earlier in Ephesians 5, and particularly in the immediate context where it speaks of we who by nature are children of darkness, being brought out of the darkness and into the light of life, the light of salvation, the fellowship of God in His covenant through the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. We belong to the light. We're not part of the darkness and the evil of this world around us anymore. We've been saved from that. Therefore, in gratitude for what Christ has done, redeem the time. Comes out also from that word redeem. It's a word that's used elsewhere in the Word of God to describe Christ's redemption of us. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Christ has redeemed us. He's bought us, who were slaves to sin and Satan and the darkness. And He bought us with the highest, the greatest, the most precious price. The cost of His own life. The shedding of His own precious blood for us. And His enduring of the wrath and judgment that we deserve. He's redeemed us. He's bought us out of the darkness and He's brought us into the light. In thanksgiving for Christ's redeeming of us, we are called to redeem the time. Glorify God for what He's done, to seek first the kingdom of Christ who saved us. Thanksgiving for that redemption. What motivation we have! What great motivation and encouragement to us to redeem the time in these evil days in which we live. You've been redeemed, beloved. I've been redeemed. Therefore, thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. Redeem the time. Redeem the time in the year of our Lord 2019. Redeem whatever time have in your earthly pilgrimage that remains. Till your dying day, redeem the time. and redeem the time until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the crowds of glory, when He will bring the whole redeemed church and the whole redeemed creation to the glories and the mansions that He's prepared for us. Walk circumspectly and redeem the time, because the days are evil. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we're thankful for the encouragement, for the instruction, and the admonition of Thy Word to us. Apply it to us by Thy Holy Spirit. Strengthen us by Thy grace and Spirit to live out of this Word our life in the midst of this wicked world. May our light shine. May Thy name be glorified. May we be used by Thee in the service of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Bless the labors of our hands. Establish them for good. May they serve, Father, ultimately to Thy glory. Forgive our sins. Watch over and care for us in the rest of this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.